Son when he's dying for all our sins. And when, especially when the Father sent him, the Father suffered, and the Holy Spirit suffered with him on the cross. It was his flesh that they were all in. The Spirit didn't leave him. If it did, then how would it be that he could give up the Spirit when he died? He says, it is finished, and the Spirit departed from him, right?
Right.
Okay, so then I could go on and on with all other different reasons that, but he did say one thing. He says, I know you have a very good, you know, a big heart. And he said, I want to come and move in. So I told him, you're not coming and moving in here if you're going to have, he says, my head usher, the head usher of the church that I go to, really, you know, got upset about what you said, and so did my head pastor. And I said, I don't care if I upset everyone in the world with what I say. There's been too much of this canker worm and palmer worm and locust that has eaten up the Word of God just because they were afraid to offend somebody. He says, you better not offend the Lord, okay? How would it be that God could, Jesus would say, after he's already told people that I've come to die in this world? And what kind of a testimony would that be to us if he tells us, be faithful to the end? And then he punks out on the cross and says, God has forsaken me. How would we ever believe him when he says, I'll never leave or forsake you? Huh? Why would he leave his only begotten son? He's not going to look away because of our sin. It wasn't him that sinned. He was without sin. It was our sins that he died and shed his blood for. How could his blood be an atonement if there was sin on his body or soul or blood? He never sinned. It was our sins that he died for. If I say I'm going to the electric chair, that doesn't mean that I did the sin. I'll die for you in the electric chair because you committed murder. A friend of mine, David Allen Coe, is a singer of sorts and stated that he killed a man in prison with a mop bucket because he was a queer and tried to molest him while he was in the shower. Well, David Allen Coe picked up a mop bucket and wrapped it around the guy's head and killed him. And I said, how can you get out of prison? Because the law now states, he says, a friend of mine that has three lifetimes took the rap for me. He stated that he did it, so that, because he says it doesn't make any difference to him, he's going to be there anyway. And I said, oh, well, that doesn't mean that the other guy did it, did the crime. David Allen Coe did it. Okay? God is not unjust. He knows his son didn't do anything wrong. We're having to take a lot of flack because of the sinners all around us, but that doesn't mean that God is not looking down upon us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're keeping his, if we're walking in the Spirit and we're covered in his blood. But the people still know that there's a good heart inside, that there's the Spirit of the Lord in me. And they still, even though he says his pastor just handed the thing back to him and his usher did that, and don't you think that you ought to just leave that one lie, don't tell the truth about it? No, because a lot of people have written me and said that they knew that that was wrong because they couldn't figure out how that God could forsake his own son when he died for the sins of the world. If he's going to be that kind of a God, we don't want to serve him. So you got a certain amount of nude nicks one side, and then you've got the people that know the right thing on the other hand. Okay, so you have to just preach the truth. I says, well, they're going to lose faith in the King James Version. The devil came and told me that too. And then they're going to say the whole word might be wrong. No, it's not. If you're going to base the Word of God on that some translator translated everything A letter perfect, the people that translated the King James Version were, they spoke Greek. They didn't speak Aramaic. The New Testament, and I hear people saying all the time, the whole New Testament was written in Greek. No, it wasn't. The first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And then from Acts on to Revelations was written in Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. So the translators didn't understand this ancient language, Aramaic. Now, Aramaic is the, if you say, okay, the whole United States speaks English, but there's a different dialect in New York. They speak, they have a Brooklyn accent. Well, the whole Hebrew comes from Aramaic. It's just a offshoot of Aramaic. It's like a Brooklyn accent. Hebrew is not the main language. Aramaic is. And Hebrew is just like a different accent or a different little thing. So the people that speak Aramaic know that, and when they're reading the old text, and it was written in that text, they're reading the real thing, that Jesus never said that, okay? So you're going to say, well, the King James, that's the translation from the original. And if the people didn't understand Aramaic, they didn't. There's like a little curl like this with a two dots here and one there. That means camel. And then the same thing is like a S upside, I mean sideways, with one dot and one dot over here, that's rope. Well, or two is rope and one is, three is rope and two is camel. One dot on each side of the S laying down. Well, the Greek translators said that's camel. Camel and rope look about the same if you don't put that extra little dot in there. It says it's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yet all things are possible with love. It doesn't say camel. That's another mistranslation. It means the same thing. I mean, you know, you could put a house to go through the eye of a needle. You can't put a rope through the eye of a needle, and you can't put a camel through either. So, I mean, that means the same meaning to there is there anyway. But that's where the meaning went clear off, is when they say, my God, it says, for this cause came I into the world. And he told his disciples, he rebuked Peter when he told him, that shall not happen to you. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew he was going to die, and he knew it wasn't going to be God forsaking him. And he says, I'll raise my own self up. He wasn't worried about it. He said, the flesh profits nothing. So how does that, what I put in there, doesn't do anything but aid the real true word of God all the way through, okay? Amen. I'm sure there's theologians all over the world working on that. Oh, get him. They say, well, I'm sure it's true, but because it makes more sense, but my usher and my pastor was offended. So what? That must not be one of the least of the Lord's if he's ashamed of the word of the Lord, right? So if we offend one of his little ones, like I'm offended at him being offended at the real word of God. And for him to compare me with his usher, well, I've been divinely called by the Lord, like a dignity of the Lord, with signs and wonders and dreams and visions. So why should I? Why shouldn't I get offended when they're comparing me to some that I don't even think he's a scholar in the Word? I love studying the Word. It's interesting for me to find nuggets, because the Word of God is loaded with them. I can get a bunch of nuggets out of one chapter, And then all of a sudden I can go back 2 or 3 years later and get a whole new batch of them out of there. It's just endless, the amount of messages that are in the Word of God. I'm sure there's got to be hundreds of trillions of messages in the Word. And the seeker will find some of them. And that's why the Lord has a lot of people in His body, a lot of members, so that they can all seek like that and come up with some nuggets too. I'm not the only nugget finder for sure. Okay, so let's go on with this message. Did you record all that?
Yeah.
That's all right. Okay, that's okay. It's good that that's on there. Okay, well anyway, this is the third day, or day three, or the third message regarding why, what to pray, or why we should pray. And because a lot of people say, gosh, you know, to pray always, I don't have that many things to pray about. Well, the Bible tells you a lot of different reasons to pray. And one of them is to pray for all the saints. And that's what this prayer is for. Not just in your church, but in the whole body, throughout the world, is the body of Christ. There's a cluster of members in one little town somewhere, and then in the United States, and then in several little towns, and then medium-sized towns, there's little clusters, and in large towns, there's little clusters. Yeah, who would ever think that here in this little town in Arkansas, and then in little town of Dyer, 1,500 people there, and when it was not even that many people, that there would be members of the body of Christ. If you know that we're here and over there in Fort Smith and in Los Angeles and in New York, the local churches, you're going to find little clusters of Christians here that are real true Christians, those that have the Word of God or the Spirit of God streaming into them from every part of the world. It's like you can see rain showers way in the distance. You can see them coming down to the earth. That's how I see spiritually how here and there the Lord's Spirit is streaming down through into people and out of them. And remember, the incarnation is the way that the Lord pours out His Spirit upon all flesh. And so we can't even pray unless Christ is in us, because we're not supposed to pray. We're supposed to die. Dead people can't pray. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ that came into us crying, Abba, Father, that does the interceding, the intercessory prayer that urges us to pray for certain things, because our spirit is made alive. We're, the old past is dead, but our spirit is renewed and made new, rather, and made powerful by the Spirit of Christ that urges us, that impels us to pray for certain things. Because when we know it's the Lord in us doing the praying instead of us, I've already said it, that then we have great confidence and faith in that the answer of our prayers is going to be answered. It's on its way, because it's Christ doing it, asking His Father, and the Father never rejects the Son. Okay? All right, so let's start.
Lesson 3, pray for all saints.
This is right. Okay, then go ahead.
Quote, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18.
You have to watch with all perseverance. You have to watch to see what inside you, what the Lord wants you to pray for. And you can see things that will cause the Spirit to be stirred in you and will stir you up to pray and to watch and persevere to see when the answer comes, so you can praise the Lord and thank Him for it. But every time that the Lord makes a move in this area where we are, and we get a lot of people want to come to church now because of what was written in the newspapers, about what we did. I mean, we just did what the Lord said. I didn't think it was anything that great. It's just a habit with me. I see what needs to be done to go ahead and do it. Turn it. So we need to watch for and persevere in prayer and in watching also, so that we can praise and thank the Lord when we see the thing that we're expecting. When you pray, we have to pray expecting that it's going to happen. And we look for it. I mean, I do. I'm expecting a lot of loot, a lot of money to get the gospel out. Because there's people calling from all over the globe wanting different things. Words out, the cat's out of the bag, you know, that we do have good heart over here. And that we, and you know, I pray, Lord, give it to them. If you don't give it to me to give it to them, well, then give it to them if it's your will. Because a lot of times, when I was young, I wanted to do what I'm doing now, but I wasn't schooled enough in the Word at the time. And so the Lord didn't give it to me. He doesn't want to give it to anybody that doesn't know the Word thoroughly enough to be able to convince the gainsayer. I mean, give a bunch of money to somebody that isn't ready. Some of them are just starting out. And I told them that I'll supply them with Bibles and with literature, but, you know, I'll pray about the money part. And we'll give you money for food and clothes, but not to build a 3-story building. I mean, we don't have that kind of message from the Lord to do anything like that, or buy huge pieces of property for them and finance people's educational careers, because I'm trying to get them out of universities, because they're teaching them all kinds of sinful things, and most of them are just a bunch of co-ed or men and women. They're just there to have parties and stuff. And so I'm not financing. The Lord doesn't want me to finance anything like that. The world is saying, yeah, you have to have an education. I would say yes. But not, we need a spiritual education. We need to get ready for eternity. Not to learn all this other stuff that they're teaching. Okay? If people want to do that, that's their choice. But for me, all I want to do is teach the Word of the Lord to people. To hungry and thirsty souls. If they're not hungry and they're not thirsty for the Word of God, I don't want to teach them anything. Even Jesus, if they're not interested, just shake the dust of your feet off. Don't be running after them. Depart. They're not worthy to hear the word of the Lord anymore. Okay? Shake the dust of the feet. Be bold in the Spirit. Do what the Lord says. When you do what the Lord says, that's being bold. Don't be a scaredy cat all your life to do what the Lord says because you're afraid you'll offend somebody. The problem is, don't offend the Lord, because if you are ashamed of Him and His Word, then you've offended Him so much He's going to send your soul to hell. Don't be afraid if you offend people. Do you think the Lord cared if He offended people when He could send His twisters and all kinds of storms and iced them in on Christmas? Hey, you're celebrating my son's birth with a bunch of presents to a bunch of unregenerated people, and you're in there drinking, boozing, watching lewd things on television. I'll shut your stinking power off. Huh? While your turkey's in the oven, or it's half raw. What about that? He still is not. He's uptight in him so much that he's not even turned it on yet to some other people. Yes, we're getting some of it too, but the Lord has given us enough money to go buy generators, okay? Don't forget that while all Israel was being punished for not observing the Sabbath, Jeremiah and Daniel and all the others had to suffer with them too, right?
Right.
Different time. They had to go under, and the 3 Hebrew children, people that were devout, Daniel, all them, and even Joseph had to suffer with the rest. So here we are, and you know, the Lord's pouring out His wrath, but we're not suffering as much as they are. Are we?
No.
Because the Lord had also cut off their ability to get funds. He lets them have a little bit of money because he's a good God. He causes the rain and the sun to fall on everyone's head. It is the same saved and the unsaved, and also the sun to shine on their heads too. Because he's a good God and doesn't want anybody to perish. And we're not supposed to gloat because people don't have money. We just have to preach to him, if you serve the Lord, God will provide for you as he does for us. Because the Lord had me save some extra money for an emergency like this, so that I was able to pay $15,000-$16,000 for one generator. And I just went and paid $13,000-$14,000 for another one for the church, because now a bunch of people want to come to church because they read the article in the newspaper and they say, hey, you people are all right. And they're calling up and saying, we want to come to church. So we're having to tell them, okay, wait. And so immediately when I heard that, I went and sent to Sanford out to get a generator and a great big fuel tank to put the diesel in. And that'll be hooked up tomorrow. We can have services tomorrow night over here. And then I bought generators for Dennis, for the little thing over here. Everybody's got generators now. For Dennis's house, for Marianne and Barney's place, Sanford and Jerry's place over here, plus Marty's place, and a little deal over here, and then one for the mini mansion I bought. Now whenever the lights go out, the generator kicks in. We're going to have lights and heat. How about that? So, catastrophe can hit, but God always gives us, the people of the Lord, a way out. I mean, we had turkey dinner. Right?
Yeah.
We didn't miss meals, did we?
No.
We had mashed potatoes and gravy. We didn't know of the problems out there, except we read it in the newspaper. Somebody told us that, well, when we went outside and saw everybody else's lights off but ours. Even Dr. Greenspan came over here and came in the house with his friend and says, boy, you're really bragging, you know, by keeping, our whole house was lined with Christmas lights. Says, you're really bragging, aren't you? That the Lord's blessing you. I said, why not? Sure. So you can see it from the highway. There's no other lights in town. Huh? See, the Lord makes a way, right, for his children. And we opened up presents and laughed and carried on. And the other people were like groping around in the dark, poking with their fingernails the turkey to see if it still bounces back. And it doesn't, you know, no crispy skin on it. And then when we went to a restaurant the other day, the woman said, boy, did you get caught in the thing? And I said, no, we had a generator. She says, I hate you. Remember?
Yeah.
She says, ours hasn't even been turned on yet. Well, probably won't be for a while for hating us, huh? Right? Better be careful what you say. Okay, let's keep going. Read that back, that scripture.
Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance.
All supplication in the Spirit. It's the Lord, all the prayers from the Lord. Okay, then what?
Watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Yeah, and making sure that you're praying, not so much for your own church or your own circle, but to pray for all saints. Because if your finger is smashed, it affects the whole body. You can't really think good. Or if your toe is smashed, I mean, you just got your mind on that. So try to do everything to keep your body free from pain. And the same thing with the Lord's body is to pray that every one of their needs will be met and that they will continue having the Spirit of the Lord streaming through them in order that the body of Christ can be produced, or that his bride can be produced by the dispensation of his Spirit. You're dispensing his Spirit through, he's dispensing his Spirit through you. He dispenses it in you and through you. You're like a dispensing machine. That's why when you've read and you've prayed, you're filled up with the Word of God. And then you preach it to others, and then your body is like pouring all the milk out of the milk bottle. Then you have to fill the bottle back up with the Word of God so that you, because you don't know who's going to come your way that you, the Lord wants you to witness to. And so when you're tanked up with the Spirit, and the Spirit's being constantly streaming through you, if you neglect reading and praying spiritually and contacting the Lord in your spirit and listening to what he says, then you'll always be ready to expand, to grow yourself in the Lord. The Lord, and you say, well, we're all doing this for somebody else. I don't love, but the Spirit of the Lord loves the sinner to, he wants enough to where he wants to get the word to him. And he rewards you by giving you more of his life within. And also, he rewards you for dispensing mercy to the world, because those people would burn if they didn't hear you, him from you. And in the time when it comes for you to be judged, you'll have all that mercy stored up, because mercy rejoices against judgment. At the judgment bar of God, he'll say, what did you do for? Did you care about human souls? Did you care about that they were, did you pray for the whole body of Christ? You had all sorts of things, but you took it as though, you know, it was just for you, that you're the only body of Christ in the world. They're all over the world. This man that comes from near Yugoslavia just went back. He went back to get his wife and kids to come back with him. He wants to bring his whole family in now, because evidently the people in Fort Smith were a good testimony unto him. Finally. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if you think you're just doing it for them and that there's no reward, then you're just calling God a liar. The Lord says, mercy begets mercy. If you sow mercy, you're going to reap mercy back. And God knows we all need mercy, and at the judgment bar of God. Why? Because even the righteous are going to scarcely make it into heaven. So you've got to stock up as much mercy as you can. If you just think that you're going to ride in on the laurels of what somebody else did, you're crazy. Because each person is going to stand before the Lord themselves. And no one's going to be standing there with you. So the more mercy you sow, the more mercy you're going to receive. And that's, a lot of people just pray for what they want and what they need. You better pray for the saints, the body of Christ, because if that's hurting, you're going to be hurting. The devil has overridden the world to where now people think they can come in and just burn people up and everything. But if you pray for the saints, for them to have boldness, to have the Spirit flowing through them, and to have all the things that are of the Lord, the fear of the Lord and all this, they're going to be out preaching the Word of God, sowing the mercy, and you're not going to see all this demonic stuff any longer. Because the Spirit quells or quenches the flesh. And people are not going to be aborting their children any longer. People are not going to be committing adultery or fornication any longer, or lusting. People are going to come off of drugs and narcotics, just like this guy. And they're going to come out of witchcraft and come out of the other, all the other cults in the world when they hear the true word of the Lord. Because the true word of the Lord is very powerful. We have unsaved people where I say it was so powerful that it overwhelmed me and I'm saved now. Okay, so bring a sinner to repentance covereth a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that you can go out there and sin, because as we're striving towards perfection,
you're going to make mistakes, but you're certainly not going to be gawking at the opposite sex or at your own sex. You're not going to be getting lonesome or upset and then think that you can go and get drunk or on drugs just because you're upset, or go ahead and commit some sort of sin. But people that are ignorant to sin, I mean, you're not going to commit any known sin with the Spirit of the Lord going through you. But just a big double and triple sure that you have to, your insurance policy is doing everything that the Lord says, and to sow mercy, pray for all saints. Pray for the body, because we don't want us, we're gaining momentum now. We need to pray for worldwide revival. We have to have the spirit of prayer. That worldwide revival starts out, begins in a revival of prayer within each and every member of the body of Christ. When you start praying for revival, there will be a revival, because you're praying exactly for the thing that the Lord wants. When you're praying for all saints to pray for revival, and for them to have all the wherewithal they need to, all the Bibles they need, all of the tracts they need, all the different things, and the Spirit mainly running through them, then you're going to see revival. And there's going to be people writing, and pray that they'll get the gifts to write and to preach and to teach, and the gifts of prophecy. But after you pray for them worldwide, then pray for the ones that are around you. Okay? Okay, go ahead.
Every member of a body is interested in the welfare of the entire body, the whole body, and exists to help and complete the others.
We want to help and complete them, don't we?
Yes.
What do you mean complete? For them to have to grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ, to know how to pray, to know what to pray for. It says it right in the Bible, you know, pray for all saints. That's where I'm getting these scriptures from. Right?
Right.
It's all watching. It's all supplication. Okay, then what?
Believers are one body and ought to pray not so much for the welfare of their own church or society, but first of all for all saints.
For all saints, everywhere in the world. Because God, who knows if God's going to send us over to Europe. And if the saints are not on fire over there, we're going to walk into a hornet's nest. Right? Right now it's in vogue to be a Christian, even the politicians, because of what we've done and other Christians have done. Because we've got distributors out there distributing the word, and they're witnessing and testifying. And I got a letter yesterday that sounds as godly as any message I've ever heard from a man somewhere in Africa or some foreign country. Man, that guy, I told him to put it in the newsletter. It's just beautiful. You can tell that every word was right from the Lord. I know that man's a Christian, or woman, whoever it was. They just mentioned initials. Every word that they read was beautiful. That Johnson read from their letter to me. But then there are others, a beautiful letter from another person that has a gospel newsletter that is winning lots of souls over in Africa or India someplace, and he asked permission if he could run my literature in his tracks too. He said, because they need what you're saying, you know, what the Lord has given you out here, because it'll help even win more souls. And they're going to translate it into some of this language that I don't even know how to pronounce. One is French and the other one is some language I don't even know how to pronounce over in, I guess it's Africa. But they said people are responding to your literature. They're getting saved from it. So we pray that their hearts will be open, all the people in the countries, but we pray also that the saints will have the boldness to go into these he says deep, dark regions over here that nobody else will ever get to. this guy is just going right in there. You can tell he's and he's with that newsletter. And I told him to put them all in the new newsletter, so people can see, you know. And I told him to buy 5 bicycles for them over, I think, in the Philippines or someplace. I mean, I don't pay any attention. All I know is I just do them as the Lord says. And also to pay, I said to paid for, over there they can buy Bibles for $2 a piece. And so I sent them $200 to buy 100 Bibles. And they should. They said, we thank you for the 100 Bibles. We already passed out a bunch of every one of the ones that got saved from your literature. And they're just rejoicing, you know, that they got saved. And then we got a letter from that guy that was into witchcraft. 2 letters from him, and I put them in too. Way out in the Thule someplace in Africa. He says, I just thank and praise the Lord. I just thought I was into witchcraft. So, you know, and so we're praying for somebody, and somebody went with my track. That's one of the saints. Went in there with that and got him saved. Whereas he might have cut your head off if he ever got transferred to Africa. That's why you pray for all the saints, so that they'll do the same kind of work that we're doing here in the United States, and that it'll just multiply to where the body of Christ. The Lord says he wants to do a quick work, and that's what he's urging me to do, is get this word out to where everybody knows everything about how to pray, what to do in every circumstance, spiritually, and so that it becomes second nature to him. Okay? And then the world will be done, evangelized quickly. And the Lord will come back. The Lord's doing real fast work. Now he wants me to do these tapes every day. Tract a month and all these tapes. One message a day I take. They don't, for the general public or in the body of Christ, doesn't know all these things. They need to grow up quickly. They need to know these things. And they need them on a daily basis, because I see that the saints fall apart every day if they don't get some manna every day. They get weak, you know, very feeble. They pass out and they start being carnal. If they don't get the Spirit preached into them every day, or taught to them every day. It's just like you're going to get feeble if you don't eat food necessary for your mortal body. You get sick, some people get headaches, I mean, they can't handle it. Well, all the more the spiritual food, okay? Actually, I only wrote 4 pages here. Look how long it's taken. Did we get through the first page yet?
Yes.
Or on the second page?
Yes.
All right, then go.
This large, unselfish love is the proof that Christ's Spirit and love...
Oh, when you pray for the entire world, this large and what?
Unselfish.
Unselfish love, okay.
Is the proof that Christ's Spirit and love are teaching them to pray.
And that teaching is coming from... your prayers are causing them, the Lord's Spirit, to be poured out on them more, because he's telling us to pray that. And we shouldn't not expect it to happen. When you're praying for something, you're supposed to, in faith, expect for it to happen. We're praying for all those saints. We can just see the Spirit of the Lord come streaming down to them and helping them when they're feeble and they're just ready. I mean, some of them feel like thrown in the towel, but they don't want to because they don't want to go to hell. And all of a sudden, here comes an outpouring of the Spirit on them. Oh, and they strengthen up, and then they say, gosh, let's go and win some souls. Amen?
Yeah.
And maybe they get a box full of tracts from us. They read it, and that, the Spirit in there builds them up too. Then they get a bunch of tapes. Hey, yeah, they say, maybe that's why we're not getting so much mercy, because we're not praying for all the saints, for all the whole body of Christ. We're just thinking about our own little clique, or our own little church or circle. Or our own little society. Okay, go ahead.
Pray first for all believers, and then for all those around you.
Right. For all believers in the world, and then all the believers that are around us. Because you can see that they go all to pieces. They need more of the Spirit of the Lord. And God will come down and urge them to start praying so that they'll have the Spirit all the time. Okay, then you have to be able to see spiritual and expect that the spiritual things will happen when you're speaking to the God of all flesh and the great Spirit, eternal Spirit of God. Because God lives in human flesh. He continues his incarnation here on earth through us, and we need to be filled with the Spirit in order for God to make a difference in the world. Okay, go ahead.
Pray in the love of the Spirit.
Right. Pray in Christ. Because Christ so loved the world, God so loved the world, that he poured his Spirit into a human being and began the incarnation of the Spirit of the Word of God in the world. And wants to continue it so that the same work is being done. Okay? Until he comes, until his bride is produced, his body is produced, the New Jerusalem is produced, the church. Okay? The church life. Okay? It's all the same thing. It just keeps going back to, it all works together. Okay, then what?
Quote, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples."
Yes, if you pray, if you love one another, if you're praying in the love of the Spirit, and if you love one another, not carnal love or anything like that. So as I said yesterday, it's like females, when you have a husband, and the best thing for you to show the love of God is to shun everyone but your own husband. I did that for years. For 17 years, I shunned every female in that church. And they wanted to come and talk to me, and I said, "Talk to Sue." Okay, and I just turn away from them, turn my back on them, and utterly forsake them. "But we want to know about the Lord." I said, "Sue knows all about the Lord. She'll tell you, okay? She's real good at that." Okay? I just turn utterly away from them. Okay, then what?
"By this shall all men..."
And then that way everybody knew I was of the Lord, right?
Right.
You could ask Piper. She was in the grocery store with her sister. They came up and started talking to me, and she said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "No." I says, "No, no, no." She says, and she stamped her foot in rage, and I said, "Listen, if you don't stop..." First I said, "If you don't tell me who you are, I'm going to just go away. I've got... I'm married, I've got a wife, and I'm here doing a little shopping." It was a block away from the house. And she wanted me to get some stuff and come back. And she stamped her foot and says, "I'm Piper." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I remember. We prayed with you the other night when you came into the house." She said right there was the thing that caused her to get saved. Because she saw that there was a man here on earth that wouldn't flirt with her. And I just totally rejected her. Alright?
Yes.
So that's the test. That's love. Is to show people that the Lord is in you. Not to smile at people and wiggle around and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that doesn't... All that shows is that you're still of the world. Or you use a fleeting glance given to somebody. Can say so many lovely things. As Johnny Mathis says,
"Ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." John 13:35.
Now that's the Lord speaking. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Quote, "That they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me."
Yeah, pray that for the unity of the Spirit in all saints, so that they'll know. The world will be able to see there's a big, giant movement of the Lord in the world. There's a lot of people that are in that movement. There are some people that say, "I don't think you should pray for yourself, or because I think that's selfish and self-centered and everything. So I think he's praying for things. I think you should just pray to the Lord to worship him and thank him for all the different things that he's doing through you, instead of praying for your greedy, filthy, scummy self. Worship the Lord. That's what prayer is all about. Well, the Lord urges you to pray so that he can give you something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So those people are right. You should, in one respect, you should worship the Lord in prayer and praise him and thank him. But they're wrong in the respect that you shouldn't pray. He says, ask, if you're doing all these things, and see if I won't pour out a blessing unto you, right?
Right.
Ask that you might receive. So all these different churches throughout the world are asking us for funds and all that. I don't mind that at all. I want to know when they need things. But if they prayed to the Lord for them instead of, sending petitions to me regarding it, God will give it to them some way. But when you pray, pray expecting that you're going to receive it. And pray in faith, expecting. And look for it to happen. Don't limit God. God is limitless. There's no limit to what he can give you if you really need something and the Lord knows you need it and you're letting him urge you and you go up to the throne and ask him through Christ and in the name of Christ and according to the will of the Spirit, you're going to get it. Don't limit him. He can do anything. Well, we're over in this poverty-stricken country. He can get it to you. Don't limit God. You could be in the salt mine in Siberia, locked behind doors. They're going to feed you to the lions the next morning. Pray to the Lord that that won't happen. Pray to the Lord that you'll be in sunny California or someplace, or Florida. If that's what he's urging you to pray for, you better pray it. You say, oh no, your carnal mind starts going into action and saying, God can't do that. Well, then you're limiting God. When God, we have a God that has no limits to what he can do. We can't even imagine or think of the things that he's able to give us, the Bible says. So I've got a good imagination, but I can't even think of things that he can't do. So ask, expecting the most, a human mind cannot think of all that he can do, because it's the spiritual. We have a limitless God. If he wanted you to pray, if he was wanting me to pray that I own the Empire State Building, I'd know he's going to give it to me, and the Brooklyn Bridge too, or the world. I want the world. I don't want one bridge. Okay, I can think of all. I want the world, the sun, the moon, the stars. Well, he says, all things are ours, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, belief. Paul is yours, Silas is yours. All things are yours. And every child of God has the Spirit of God in them to pray. And depending on the amount of faith you have in you, and the amount that you're able to expect, the faith that you have in order to expect whatever it is that the Lord is urging you to pray for, and then look for it. Expect it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Quote, I beseech you, brethren, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Romans 15:30.
Because he was a saint. Amen?
Amen.
Almost wrote the whole New Testament, with the exception of the four Gospels and part of the book of Acts and the ones of John and Peter and so on. Okay, then what?
Quote, above all things, Have fervent charity among yourselves.
That's above everything. Be concerned enough to pray for everybody. Above all things, have charity. One to another? Yeah. Yeah. Pray for each other. Don't spend your time, if somebody's irritating you so much, pray that they could become more spiritual. And then also talk about the Lord around them. Because the word is spiritual. Okay, never mind.
That was 1 Peter 4:8. If we are to pray, we must love. Let us tell God we do love all.
Yeah, because you're not going to pray for people unless you love the Lord. If you love him, you keep his commandments. The person that says that he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you're praying, you have to first love in order to do the things that the Lord tells you to do. If I had a wife and she doesn't do what I tell her to do, I know she doesn't love me. Because I've been in, I've seen love before. And I've seen that a person that loves you will do everything in the world for you. They'll even die for you. Like Jesus did. Who died for you. Now if you love him for that, well then you have to die for him. And live, let him live in you. Dying doesn't mean that your body dies. Dying means that you're saved by first drowning or being buried in water and being risen in spirit. Your former life is buried in the water, baptism, and risen in the spirit of the Lord's resurrection. If he hadn't died and resurrected, then we're living in that very resurrection. Or the life that's in us happened because he resurrected from the dead. And so, because he resurrected, when the Spirit enters us, that Spirit of resurrection enters us. And we're resurrected. Not only did he resurrect there, but we resurrected when he did. We're walking in his resurrection. We live, and we know that we're saved because the Spirit of the resurrection is in us. He said, I'll raise myself up. He said, I am the resurrection. Is Jesus in you? Is he in you?
Yes.
Okay, if he's in you, he's the resurrection. The resurrection is in you also. Amen?
Amen.
You're a child of the Lord. And every child of the Lord has the Spirit in them to pray. Be able to pray. Okay, then what?
Let us tell God we do love all his saints. Let us say we love specially every child of his we know. Let us pray with fervent love in the love of the Spirit. In the Spirit, there is nothing carnal.
Right, you're not. You're knowing what the true meaning of love is that you help the Lord to redeem souls, not to tempt them into hell after they've been saved. Okay, then what? That's it? Okay, so that was lesson 3. Lesson 4 will be tomorrow, Lord willing. Okay? All right, praise the Lord.